Hello, and welcome to Monumental, where we sit down with entrepreneurs, leaders, visionaries, and big thinkers making monumental change. Here's your host, Evan Holliday.
All right, welcome to Monumental. I am your host, Evan Holliday, and today we have on the show with us, Ellis Hammond. Ellis, how you doing, man?
What's up, Evan? This has been a long time coming, man. So pumped to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, very glad to have Ellis on. He is just a go-getter driven. And really, the one thing I'm excited about most about today's episode is we're really going to dive into impact and how that plays into multifamily investing and how the two are very much aligned. So a little bit about Ellis before we dive in. He began his investing journey when he was still a full-time college pastor. With the goal to create passive cash flow for his family, he realized that investing in real estate could be an incredible resource to help his family and many others achieve financial freedom. He and his wife invested in a duplex in San Diego in 2018. 9 months later, he GP'd on a 144-unit complex in Memphis. That's pretty impressive. Today, he is the founder of Kingdom Capitalist, the number one mastermind community for Christian real estate entrepreneurs, and he manages his own network of investors seeking opportunities all over the U.S. And also, he has a book on the way, which we're going to dive into. So with that, Ellis, let's just hit the ground running and tell them a little bit about yourself.
What's up, man? Yeah. So, I mean, I wrote that bio to just inspire hope. Like, if I can do it, right? Like, I just think there's so much opportunity for people out there who really want to make a difference. I was a full-time former pastor, loved the ministry that I worked for. I got to work and build relationships with college students all across San Diego, really helping them build a foundation of faith that they can use for the rest of their life. But I was working under this principle that like the best way to really make an impact was just with my time. And part of that was because I just didn't have a good framework, man, for money and wealth and capital. And honestly, like if I'm being honest with you, I really just thought capital or money was evil. And there was a real shift during that time in ministry. You know, we were raising all the funds that we needed to support our nonprofit. And then we got to a place in our ministry where, you know, there were people in our ministry who needed money to live and buy groceries. And I just kind of had this revelation of like, dang, man, here's people who are trying to make an impact in the world. They love God. They want to help people. And the thing they need right now is more money. And that just kind of hit me like, I think I have this all wrong. And so it was just a real journey for me of kind of overcoming, you know, why I had formed this thought or belief about capital and, you know, looking at my past and the baggage I was bringing in and just really a transformation of like, wow, you know, and realizing and finding a vehicle like multifamily real estate that can create incredible returns for investors, but also have huge impact as well. You know, and I don't want to go all on a monologue here, but real quick, I think for the message that I really want to share broadly, not just here, what I keep talking about is, you know, we have two pockets of investing most of the time. Like we have our giving pocket and we have our investing pocket. And man, I want to help people see like it can be one pocket. Like we don't always just have to like have our dollar only make money. Our dollar can do multiple things. And I think, you know, that's why I love your show and your message, man, because when your dollar can have multiple roles, it can make money, multiply money, have an impact, you know, in my case, advance God's kingdom. Like that's what I get excited about, man. So that really is what the book I'm writing, The Mission of Multifamily, really is all about.
I love that. Yeah. And that's why I'm excited you're on the show today, because I think that to me is one of the most important messages that we talk about with Monumental and our company Holliday Ventures is it really does come down to, hey, what can we do to not only help people, but also create generational wealth for our investors and create, you know, a new generation of happiness and impact for our residents and for communities and for those we're serving. I think that's amazing that you're aligned in that space too, and how we can actually help people and do good and make money out of it as well, if they're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, no, I mean, I see that over and over, man. I mean, you know, and there's so many, I guess, layers to this, especially in real estate. You know, there is the asset that we can steward and use to impact people. But even like for you and I, we're bringing on investors, we're helping investors, you know, giving them some free, you know, even investing in real estate, helping them steward their money and their finances in a way to give them freedom over their life, to actually be able to live at full capacity, right? Like, I just think those are the things that, you know, that I get really excited about and helping people think about, again, not just multiplying money, but how do we really live lives of impact? And that includes our time, that includes our finances. So I'm right on there with you, man.
And I think you hit it kind of spot on is you had the experience of not, or thinking making money was almost like an evil or bad thing. And I think a lot of people go through that and they have this negative money mindset where they're saying, oh, well, you know, if I make more money, and I even had this mindset where I was like, oh, well, you know, if I make a bunch of money, am I really going to be helping people? Is that really helping others? Is that really having a life of impact? Or am I just serving myself? But it's just the way you look at it should change completely, because if you put on a new pair of lens and you say, okay, this actually is a tool, the currency, the money, the exchange is really just a tool, and it's a vessel to actually take people, almost from, you know, you can use the money itself. You can, use that to enrich the life of your family. You can use that to enrich the life of others. And not to mention, like we talked about, the multifamily itself, you can have an impact by bettering communities, fixing them up, making them nicer, building brand new communities, and bettering people's quality of life for the long term.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the I talk about my money shift, like exactly like my old money mindset to my new money mindset. Yeah. And two of those principles you hit on, like one was capital equals influence, right? Like having, and that made sense to me. One of the things that kept me from, I guess one, it's so funny now, like I didn't want money, man. I really didn't. I was like, stay away. I'm going to be a pastor, right? Like, you know, have this vow of poverty. But when I understood that capital equals influence, that was a huge shift for me. And so I was limiting my amount of positive influence I could have in the world because I was limiting the amount of capital that I had in my life. So that was a shift. And then second, man, like you said it, money flows to value. So, you know, when people say, well, how much money should you make? Well, how much value should you bring to the world, right? Like, are you like, I just kind of want to bring a steady pace of value to the world, right? I just kind of want to bring like an average salary of value to the world. Like that's honestly silly to think about as entrepreneurs. Like we
are mission limiting on yourself.
Entrepreneurs, right? It's like, hey, we want to bring as much value to people as possible. And value typically corresponds with, you know, income or revenue. I mean, look at the Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, Bill Gates of the world, right? Like the reason those guys are so wealthy, Bezos, is because they created so much value to the world. Now, what we use that money for and how we steward that is part two or three of that. But I think to understand that capital equals influence and money flows to value and have a focus on what problems am I solving more than how much money am I making is the shift that I see those who are really impact driven really asking. They're not so much worried about, oh, I'm making money. I mean, look at Elon. The guy made so much money through PayPal or whatever it was, and then took all of that funds, right? And then reinvested into Tesla and SpaceX.
Yeah. And what a lot of people would say are kind of long shot companies, and he took a big risk.
Yeah. 100%. Because again, he's an impact guy. He's thinking, man, what's the value I can bring? What's the change, the problem I can solve?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, and again, maybe it could have not worked out. Maybe there's some who are listening and say, I've tried that and it didn't work out. I'm like, dude, keep going, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you brought up the Bezos and Apple and all these mega influencers and those that have brought massive value to the world, to our economy, to our lifestyles. And it brings up a quote. I forget the exact quote, but it's something along the lines of somebody asked Bezos recently with the pandemic going on. They said, oh, you know, everybody else is losing a bunch of money and your net worth just went up $48 billion because of Amazon stock went up tremendously. And they're like, what do you think about that? And he's like, well, I think it's just commensurate with the amount of value that I've brought to people. He's like, by Amazon, the value we're bringing through job creation and, you know, lifestyle change and being able to provide those goods to people, that's the value people have put on the service we are providing. So it's not like he's controlling that. He is, but it's saying, hey, look, this is what people value, and this is the true value that we're bringing to others.
Yeah, and it's sad, honestly, man, to think that he would even, like, people would even question that. Like,
that's
so evil for his net worth to go up $48 billion. But yet, honestly, man, that's the shift that we, like, away from capitalism, right? This idea of a free market, that we should get paid based on the amount of value we bring to the market. And so, I mean, in some ways, why we started, it's called, why my podcast is called Kingdom Capitalist, because I'm passionate about two things, the kingdom of God and a free market where we can create value and get paid based on that value. So, you know, that question in itself kind of shows why maybe you and I think like this, because it's so part of our culture right now, man, and growing of, like, we shouldn't get paid based on the value we bring to the market, right? And it's sad to see. So we don't have to get too political today, but I mean, I do think there's something in that of, like, it's why messages like this are so strong to say, no, like, go out there and create as much, seek to create as much value as you can. And be incentivized for that.
Yeah. So let's dive into your mission. It's Mission of Multifamily or Mission Multifamily? Your new book?
Yeah, Mission of Multifamily.
Let's dive into it. Let's go into a little bit of what that's about and when it's releasing and all the details.
Yeah, man. So it's I'm excited to get your audience a free copy of it. missiontomultifamily.com is where they can head to check it out. But really, it's my journey, man. I mean, like I said, I started as a pastor with no real estate education. We bought our first duplex in San Diego, California. It was two units and it was over $500,000. We had a family investor kind of really help us. Essentially, you know, they put up the money, we did everything else. And that was the start of this idea of, like, money flows to value, because we created something of value and money flowed to us. And honestly, man, in 12 months of that deal, I think we made about 150K in equity right away. And for me as a pastor, right, like, living on a pastor's house, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is the most incredible thing we've ever done. But I always say this too, like, it was revolutionary for me in a couple of ways. One, I was like, wow, real estate is an incredible vehicle we can build wealth in. But buying a duplex at a time was not going to solve the issue. Mostly because, like, dude, buying two units at, you know, $500,000 a pop was just not going to be scalable for us. And so we knew we needed a better way to really create wealth. And so that's where we learned about multifamily syndication, where we could essentially pull together investors and capital, you know, and place that in larger assets that none of us really could buy on our own, but together we could. And so 9 months later, man, we actually did our first syndication deal. And that was kind of the start of this journey as well. And I would say the mission of multifamily is more so than just, hey, we're buying large assets. I also should mention that multifamily for us is an incredible, it's still a ministry for us, man, because when we buy a complex, dude, we're 144 units. That's 144 homes, right? That's 144 places that we are called to steward and create impact in. And so, you know, I always talk about this incredible organization, Apartment Life, that is actually putting, like, you know, outreach families in these communities to help serve, create community, even do, you know, spiritual formation, or even just, again, be there as a friend for folks who are going through things. So the thing about, we have an asset, man, that we can invest in that can produce cash flow, that can multiply our money over the next decade, right? That protects us and shelters us from taxes, from high taxes, and yet has the ability, right, to change lives and transform neighborhoods, it's an incredible vehicle. And that's why I'm so passionate about building a real business around that over the next decade or so, man, because of what we can do there, again, where that dollar can work in multiple ways. And so the book, the Mission of Multifamily is that journey of the things we had to overcome and even how we got to do that deal in 9 months and what we're focused on now. And two, man, like, I would say, you know, so if you're interested in multifamily, definitely go check it out. But even if you're not, I think there's so many other industries that are untapped for kind of the same idea. that there's a lot of potential for revenue, man, but there's a lot of potential for us to make monumental impact in those industries as well. So hopefully that book provides a framework for people to really think deeply about that too.
I love it. So guys, he said he's going to give everybody a free copy, missionofmultifamily.com. And when is it coming out?
Well, if we're launching the show in September, man, it'll be ready. So just go there now and it's ready for you. Go grab a copy.
I love it. I love it. Guys, take him up on that.
Let's go. Yeah.
So I want to dive into, you mentioned, you're creating homes. If you're in multifamily, you are dealing with where people spend 365 days out of the year, where they grow their family, where they, you know, create a family. And it's really powerful. And I'm glad you brought that up because that's a big part of our mission. Like our overall mission of Holiday Ventures is empower others. And above and beyond that, we're creating and preserving quality, attainably priced housing, because we believe in this basically combining that attainably priced with the empowering component, like you mentioned. Like, we want to not only just create the quality housing and create it at a good price point, but we want to actually give people the tools they need, the mindset, you know, the podcast, the community, the health aspect, as well as like the financial backing and the financial mindset and the confidence in themselves to then grow to the next level, the next iteration of who they are as a family and as themselves, and really live their best life. That's our goal for our residents.
And you get this probably more than anybody. Like, all you said there, and you're doing this, man, you're on the front lines because I follow you, you know, we're friends. Like, the intentionality that takes to go the extra mile, right, and to invest in your community and be there and be present. Like, I think that's part of just the separation for most. It's like, to do those things, man, like, you have to spend time. Like, you have to be intentional, right? Like, you have to invest back into that community or that asset. And so, that's why I'm all on board for you and support you 100%, because you're doing the work that it takes to do that. And honestly, for most, it probably doesn't take as much as they think, but, you have to get close. So I always talk about proximity. You know, my wife and I, when we think about who we support, nonprofits, missionaries, et cetera, like, you know, one of our goals is to get, I mean, do we want to get wealthy, man. Like, we want to make a lot of money, right? I mean, that was a turning point for me because capital gives influence, but it's always super important for us that we say, like, let's not get too far from the things that we are passionate about supporting, because proximity, right, is so important, especially for us, our hearts, our emotions, that when we remove ourselves from our mission, right, that so does our heart and so does our, you know, our emotions towards that mission. And so to be close to the things that we're passionate about, be close to the things that we're serving. And if that's not people, right, like, you're probably missing the point. Like, it, who we're called to love, to serve, to give back to are people and relationships. And so, you know, the farther we move away from relationships, from people, that's where money and greed and all these things begin to take place, because it's just because we're human, man. It's like, that's our tendency. We move farther away. We grow in farther proximity from the thing that we're really called to. So I don't even know how we got on that, but I just think that's so important.
Yeah,
as I think about your mission, man, you're in there, right? And that's why you're seeing it, because you live in Nashville and you're developing in Nashville. You see the issues, the problems. And so that's what's motivating you and us too, man. You know, like, we want to be in the lives of those who we're doing business with.
I think that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. Is not lose sight of the reason why you're doing things and the real, like, the actual impact. Like, impact can be a big word, but you also need to think about the granular level of, like, people to people connections and relationships. That's where the impact happens.
Yeah, I do think, man, like, most, like, if you just kind of look at where people turn astray, like, I think it has a lot to do with proximity. Like, you know, you get farther and farther away from your mission and why you started this venture. It probably has to do because you bought a house that was too far away from where you were called to be, right? You put your kids in a school where those who, you know, just kind of is isolated. It's a one track kind of, you know, mindset. So, I think that's important. I mean, that's a conviction that me and my wife hold, like for us to have monumental impact, we know we need to be in proximity to those that we want, that we're called to really serve. So
I love that. Well, let's dive into, speaking of proximity, let's dive into your mastermind, Kingdom Capitalist Mastermind. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I mean, we sat on this business, man. We had a lot of great mentors and a lot of folks who were giving us good advice. But for me as a man of faith, like I never could find a place that were both, I had, I guess, sharp mentors in both business and in faith. And so we just, as any good entrepreneur would do, we just created our own community around that. And so Kingdom Capitalist really serves real estate entrepreneurs and investors who are really seeking to build excellent businesses and yet keep the most important thing first, which is our love for God, our love for family. And so those are the things we really focus on. And so between our members, our advisors, we have now over $2 billion of assets under management. And honestly, man, like, you know, if you're not part of a mastermind, if you're not part of a network of people that are thinking at a higher level, like I just think there's so much untapped potential in you and in your business. I mean, I know you're part of masterminds as well. Honestly, man, like I just owe my success to my network of folks in leveraging other people, you know, in a good way. I don't mean that in a bad way, like legit, like leveraging relationships, networking their network, you know, to be my network has changed everything for me. And, I mean, I have a podcast show as well, and I never talk to a high performing CEO who, when I ask like, hey, what's your secret? They say, well, on a regular basis, I sit down with people who are smarter than me, who are more advanced than me, who can see the blind spots in my business. Like that's what our mastermind does and is for one another. But not just in business, also in our faith, our love for God, our love for our family as well. So, it's been awesome to see, man. You know, it's cool to create something, and then see lives be transformed by it, for deals happening, but even marriages being impacted. You know, when someone says something you create and someone comes in and says, man, hey, I really feel like I found my tribe. You know, I've been looking for something for so long and I've come in and I found my tribe. That just is like, that has been the highlight for me, man, to create a community where people are like, hey, wow, you know, like this is what I've been looking for. It's fun, man, because honestly, I just created something that I want to be a part of. And I had no idea about others wanted to be a part of it as well. And clearly there are. So it's been great, man.
That's the best way to start a business.
Yeah.
I love that. So how is it structured? Like for those interested in either starting their own mastermind group, how did you take those first couple steps? And then how is it kind of structured?
Yeah. I mean, early on, like I just asked, we kind of did it for free early on and we just brought folks in and had a phone call and, you know, a couple buddies on a phone call together on a Zoom call. We would bring in these experts and these guys kept saying, man, like, I wish I had a community like this early on, you know, in my business. And so that gave us the kind of the seed. And so the first launch, man, was just about 10 guys that I went to and said, hey, will you pay me X amount of dollars if I can put together this board of advisor group and I can kind of structure like this and I can bring these other high level thinkers into a room together on a monthly basis for us to talk, would that be a value to you? And 8 people said yes. And so that was how we launched it early on. And then, you know, I realized like, wow, okay, there's a real need for this. Like people are really wanting a community where they can talk about their faith, talk about their business. And I had met some incredible industry leaders through my journey, you know, in the last 2 years. And so I invited them to essentially be on our board and just kind of shared our vision and our heart for why we're building this. And we have 4 excellent advisors who are just unbelievable operators in the world of commercial real estate and finance, but also have our shared faith and values. And so they sit on our board. And so from there, man, you know, essentially what we do now, we have kind of the community at large. We're at 30 members, I believe. And we have the community at large, but we do monthly cohorts. So we invite 12 new members in every single month or every 30 to 60 days. And so, you know, we have smaller groups that meet on a monthly basis, that hour to 2 hours, where we're talking about kind of individual issues, business issues, family life. And then we have kind of our larger group calls once a month as well, where we typically invite an advisor into that to, you know, to train, to teach, to share, you know, to answer questions. And then we do a couple in-person events per year as well. We're doing our first one in October because of COVID has kind of delayed that. But yeah. It's hard to build relationships without getting in person, man. So I'm going to force an in-person event this year before 2020 ends.
Yeah.
So we're going to get together. I'm really excited about that. So yeah, man, I mean, I hope that answered your question. It really is about getting the right people on board.
Yeah.
And I'm not the coach. It's not like I do all the training. Like I'm the chief connector, and I'm like, hey, I promise you, if you come into this community, you'll meet, like, if you love God and you want to build an excellent business in real estate, like, I promise you, I mean, we give it away for 60 days, man, for people just to come in and see it, because I know that if you're looking for a community like this, you'll fall in love and you'll stay forever. And that's, you know, again, like, because we know who we serve. We're not trying to serve everybody. We have a real particular niche, and all 30 members are really passionate about those two things.
Yeah.
Their faith, and they want to build a great business in the world of real estate. And so why would you not want to be a part of this? Right.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. That's really cool. And I'm glad you brought up, like, you're just the chief connector. You're not the expert in everything. You're not going to teach them everything, but you're going to bring in all the other people and all the other tools that can help them get to where they want to be and you know, cross-pollinate that faith with that real estate investing business. That's really cool.
Yeah. Honestly, man, like, if I can just be honest on the show, and, you know, as long as no one tells my secret here, like, the only way I've made a dollar this year is from that principle. Like, is just, hey, I am going to be kind of the watering hole for those who are thirsty. I don't have the water. I'm just holding it, right? Like, I'm just kind of bringing it, collecting it, and sharing it. That principle of just saying, hey, I don't have to have all the knowledge, but yeah, what I'll do is I'll go find it and I'll bring it to one place for you to really source. And it's been the, you know, the cornerstone, man, of my success. Is I'm not the smartest, sharpest, most experienced. I'm never that person in the room, but I know all of those people, right? And I've built really good friendships
exactly,
and relationships
exactly
with all of those people. And so I just think, you know, if there's early entrepreneurs and you're saying, well, how do I get started? You know, I don't have the credibility or whatever. It's like, dude, go borrow it, go partner, go do all the work and bring somebody else in and let them benefit from it. Because that's like, your network is everything.
Yeah.
Especially as you move forward in business.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It really, the amount of quality connections that you can have and you can cross-pollinate and you can leverage as needed throughout your career and your life is like kind of the secret sauce, or like the backdoor entrance into the club of success. Like,
yeah,
it's amazing.
Like, you know, what we're doing now, man, we were talking before the show on Instagram. I was like, hey, let's take a selfie, because what I wanted to happen, I'm going to take a selfie, I'm going to send it to you or tag you, and then hopefully you'll share it. And it's like, now all of Monumental Podcast sees me and Evan together, and it's like, oh, who's this Ellis guy? Like, he's all of a sudden much more credible to anyone who listens to this show, yeah, because you and I have chatted, right? And so they're going to see other things. And so if I do that 30, 40, 50 times, that begins to compound. So all, yeah, of a sudden, this college pastor who nobody knows about, right? Like, who really has no business being in this industry, now is an influencer, right? Now has a platform, now has a message,
yeah,
now has trust, now has credibility. And honestly, that's what I've done. It's just been the compound effect of one relationship after one relationship after one relationship, over and over again. And it's,
yeah,
just so huge, man. And it takes time. Like, you can't rush.
Yeah,
you can't rush relationships. How long have you and I been known each other, right? Like, how long we've been chatting on Instagram and, you know, finally, yeah, making this happen. It's, you know, it's part of the, it's a long-term game for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up too, because, you know, you can't chop down a tree in a day. I think,
yeah,
it takes that one quality relationship at a time and building into that relationship, knowing that you know, you're going to kind of work your way up the social ladder or the relationship ladder. And it's kind of the same way too, like what you're talking about, like your kind of like your influence or your social clout, you know, like within the podcast world. I didn't start out like going to ask Grant Cardone if he could get on the podcast, but you work your way up to that. So I think that's a great point too. And I just like the, what you said about the chief connector not knowing anything. One other thing I wanted to say on that is a lot of people get caught up thinking they need to be an expert, and you really don't at all. Podcasting, multifamily, impact, helping others, starting a business, starting a mastermind, whatever it is, you don't need to be an expert. You just need to have people around you who are, and combine that with action, massive action, which is what you did. You're like, hey, let's start out with a free group. Then let's ramp this up to, hey, what would this look like if it were paid? And you just have to ask people and you get 8 out of 10 people.
Yeah. The only thing I would add to that, I think both of those are right on. The thing that has maybe differentiated me in a oversaturated market is you have to have a story that people resonate with. And when you have all three of those, then you're dangerous, right? You don't need to be an expert, but if you have a story, right, you can take action, and you can, you know, build relationships with others, then you're powerful. Because again, like you don't have to attract everybody, but having a clear story that resonates with others, that others want to be a part of, that's like that. That's the X factor, man, that I think a lot of people are missing. They just want to be everybody else. And I'm like, you just, you know, I say the riches are in the niches, right? Like you can't serve everybody. Like I was sharing this, somebody else, your message to the world should attract the people you want to work with. And it should repel those that you don't like. Yeah. And if your message is not both attracting and repelling, I just don't think it's clear enough yet.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm not trying to be offensive in my faith of clearly, right? Like that's not my, but I know that most people won't resonate with that. And there might be some who say, hey, you know, Ellis talks about God too much. I was like, fine. Probably don't really want to work with you anyways. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
yeah, exactly.
It's okay to repel folks. Like, because those who I attract are even more committed to what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
And so I think there's something really powerful to be said about that.
I love you brought that up. That's kind of like the trifecta is, you know, if you really are yourself, if you are passionate about what you're doing and you have a niche where you are, you can differentiate yourself from others. That is so powerful. Cause I went through that myself. Like I was like, man, I see all these guys like doing these syndication deals and doing it this way. And I'm like, well, that looks nice. Like it's the big shiny object, you know, it seems exciting. But then you look at them like, wait a second, my niche is in workforce and affordable housing. That's where I need to put my blinders on and go, because that's where I am most valuable. And that's where my true impact and my true story is in that narrow, very narrow lane. So I say that for all of our listeners, you know, try to find your lane and stick with it and know that you are most powerful in your lane.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I mean, it is the driving power, right? Like, that's so good.
I love it. One last thing I want to touch on, and then we'll dive into our monumental questions. As far as LinkedIn, you mentioned before we hopped on just the power of LinkedIn for you in building that network, and how you said you went from really no network to a massive network. How did you put that in place on LinkedIn?
Yeah, LinkedIn is, you know, I just talk about LinkedIn so much and I just don't think anyone listens. It's powerful, man. I have people reach out to me every day from LinkedIn. I've met a lot of investors from LinkedIn, and it's the combination of LinkedIn, my podcast now, like it's the, you know, you start to see, you know, you start to see my face in multiple places. I think LinkedIn is kind of a front door for many, you know, but LinkedIn is powerful in a lot of ways. I mean, the two ways to get started on LinkedIn is either create content or engage with other people's content. So if you're in an industry like real estate, you know, you should just be finding who else in that industry is creating content and start engaging with their stuff, and then engage with the people that engage with their content, you know, because if someone's constantly interacting with my stuff, that means they're showing up on LinkedIn, right? They're trying to network. That means, you know, they probably are connecting and they have a network. So start meeting them. Like, it's just the 365 day, 24/7 networking party, right? And so it's not this huge ad space. Unlike Instagram and Facebook, it's actually not saturated with content. So when I go on my LinkedIn page, I have 5,000 connections. I still see the same people all the time. So imagine most of your people who are barely using LinkedIn, they probably have 1,000 connections. So you think about like the top 10%, which is 100 people, might be putting out content. So who do you think you're going to see all the time? If you're in that top 10%, they're going to see you. So not only is it a 365, 24/7, you know, networking machine, it is a 365, 24/7 billboard for you. So when I got started, I just started putting out content, started writing stuff. I did a 30-day challenge where I posted something every single day. And man, I was still a pastor when I started doing this. And this is a funny story, man. I get on a plane and I'm with my wife and I meet this guy and he's like, dude, I know you. You're that LinkedIn influencer real estate guy, right? And it's like, it was so funny to me because I'd sit down at meetings and lunches or breakfast with other people and be like, dude, you're crushing it on LinkedIn. And really, dude, just the reality is like, I'm the only one they see because the algorithm's helping me. Nobody else is putting out content. So like, that's how I built my brand. That's how I built my network. So create, engage, probably engage more. You know, I don't know, man. There's probably more strategies, but mine is not that difficult. I just create content, stuff I'm passionate about, stuff I'm talking about. And then I made a real intention to interact with people as well and just build relationships. Early on, man, my goal was to have as many phone calls as possible. And I had a 15-minute calendar and I would send that to as many people as possible. You know, once we got connected. Yeah. And it didn't matter. Like, I just was like, you'll talk to me. Great. Let's get on the phone. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so that was it. Now it's a little harder to get on my calendar now, but back then that was it, man. Let's talk. I'd love to meet, you know, and that's what we did. Because again, to go to your question, I had no network. I was a college pastor. I was trying to do big deals and I did not have a large network of investors that could invest like that. And so it was like, well, where do I go find this? Where do I go create this? And LinkedIn definitely became that for me.
Yeah, I love that. And the biggest thing I hear in that story is that you were intentional about it and you found your sweet spot in LinkedIn. And you, you know, like we talked about before, you just kind of put on your blinders and said, all in on LinkedIn and go, go, go.
Yeah.
And you were intentional about that, said, hey, I don't have a network. I got to build my network in order to be able to do these deals that I want to do.
Real quick, because I know some people they were like, well, that sounds great. How do I do it? Let me just give you a couple of quick tips. Go to the search bar, type in hashtag your industry, look for people, right? You can filter by people or actually filter by content. Sorry, hashtag real estate, filter by content, and just see who's putting out the most content. That's the people you want to follow and connect with and start engaging with. And then see the type of content that they're creating, create similar stuff. Like, who's engaging with it? Is it working? Is it video? Is it text? Right? Is it images? And then start creating similar stuff that is you, but looks like theirs because clearly it's working. So those would be, you know, huge things. And then if you want to get, let's just say how you and I met, started following you on Instagram, started adding value to you by commenting on your stuff. Dropping into your DMs, right? Like, you know, talking about like your Tesla, you know, it's honestly like how we build relationships with people in a social world. Now. You know what I mean? Like, that's how most people find their spouse. So I think you could probably land a business relationship that way as well. You know, at least like find yourself on some podcast shows you never thought you'd ever be on. So I do think it takes intentionality, but I think that's a great step. It's just going into your industry, finding the people who are already influencing it, adding value by commenting, sharing your stuff, right? And then meeting and connecting with the people that follow them as well. That'll take you a long way on LinkedIn.
I love it. Guys, take him up on that advice. Amazing advice. We'll probably be using that as well. Checking out the filtering by the hashtag. I think that's powerful.
When it comes to Instagram, I have no idea, man. I'm so weak. That's why I need your help, man. So LinkedIn, I got something. If anybody can help me on Instagram, we can trade some secrets, man, because I am struggling. So connect with me on LinkedIn and connect with me on Instagram. I need some help.
I love it. Well, with that, let's dive into our monumental questions. What does success mean to you?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I'm just kind of trying to talk and think about that question. I think success on a micro level is just doing what I said I was going to do. Like when I think about from a daily perspective, just because I'm such a driver, I'm always trying to go to the next level. I always want to do more, and I can get burned out really easy, man. That it's been really helpful for me just to write down the things that I'm trying to accomplish, and that gives me clarity and vision and goals. And so success is, hey, did I do the things today that I said I was going to do? I was successful, right? So on a very micro level, I think that's helped me as an achiever, kind of a futuristic person, is just doing those things. I think also though, like what really drives me, man, is this can be a good thing or a bad thing is, and I try to, I mean, in a real holy way is what others think, in the sense that like, do people like me? Do I like them? Is there a real mutual love where people can say, man, I know Ellis and that guy truly had my best interest in mind. That guy truly wanted to see me succeed. That just drives me, man. Like, and I want to be a part of people's stories and their journeys. So I think, looking back that success, hopefully there'll be, 100,000 people at my funeral saying, dude, I'm so successful, or I'm more in touch with my faith, or my marriage is on fire because of that conversation with Ellis, or that time spent with Ellis. So those are the things, man, that really matter to me for sure.
Yeah. I love that. I was about to jump into the book one. Let's dive into first daily habits or morning rituals.
All right. So this used to be really clean. I used to get up at 5 o'clock a.m. and have my meditation. Right now I got a puppy. So like everything's off the table, man. Like it's like wake up. The puppy's got, we got to go real hard for an hour and a half for him to sleep right now. So right now it's wake up, I take care of my puppy. But for me, it's, 30 minutes of at least 30 minutes of kind of quiet meditation, reading my Bible, some me time to just kind of reflect, pray, and get ready for the day. And then I've also found, and I actually moved this to the evening now, but I think you could do this either way, is again, writing down the goals for the day. Here are my top three things that I need to get accomplished. And then I've also found as little white space on my calendar as possible. And so that doesn't mean like I have to have a phone call, but knowing what, my working hours are allotted to, when I don't, and I've seen the difference, man, as an entrepreneur, when you don't have a boss, if I'm not intentional about literally scheduling my day minute by minute, hour by hour, the days I do that and the days I don't are so different. I'm so stressed out and feel so disappointed at the end of the day on days that I forgot to do that or didn't wake up early enough to do that. I'm like, man, why did today feel so crappy? And I'm like, well, it's because I had no idea what I was doing all day. It was like, well, yeah. Dang, okay, I'm off this phone. Let me check LinkedIn. Let me check my email. Let me go into the kitchen and get some food. It's like, I had no idea what I was supposed to do that day. And so I did a bunch of stuff that meant nothing, that drove none of my goals forward. So I think actually writing down what I'm doing and scheduling that out is huge.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more with that one. What about favorite book or book you are currently reading?
Dude, anything by Russell Brunson right now. A lot of that I've talked about today, as far as story, as far as building your network, as far as even leveraging other people's networks, has come from following Russell Brunson. Expert Secrets, Traffic Secrets is what I'm reading right now. He just came out with, excellent, man. It's like the Bible of marketing, dude. It's just so good. I'm crushing that. I'm going back and through in it, and just, I'm actually working on a bigger book project where I'm kind of taking some of these principles, and we're going to come out with this huge project around where we're bringing some of the top influencers in this industry You know, and the cool thing, like, I'm going to sit at the center of it because I'm putting it together. I'm doing all of the work and I'm just going to invite these big names to be in it. And so, you know, part of that has just come from studying some of these marketing greats who get this idea of, you know, building a network, building a Dream 100 list, kind of leveraging those assets to grow your brand as well. So Traffic Secrets, I would highly recommend.
I love it. Yeah, Russell Brunson always brings just massive value.
Brings it, man.
Yeah, gosh. Brings the heat.
And he gets paid for it too, man. That's the thing. Like, you know, everything he does has a pitch, has a, like, you're going to buy something. But gosh, does he just like, I mean, yeah, dude, how much, what else you need? Like, let me just keep paying you.
Yeah.
Keep bringing stuff. So
I love it. Well, with that, just want to round it out. Phenomenal episode. Loved how we got to talk about impact and, you know, building your tribe, building your network, and also combining that impact with income and really being able to be proud of the work you do and proud of the generational wealth that, you know, we're going after here. And so I think that's amazing, amazing mission, amazing work. Guys, go check out his book as well. Mission of Multifamily. And with that, how can our listeners follow you or reach out to you or get in touch with you?
Yeah, man. I'd love to get you a copy of this, missionofmultifamily.com. You can download that book there. And you'll know too, if we're going to print this, you'll get a copy that way. So missionofmultifamily.com, you'll get an email, probably several emails from me. Reply, let me know how you're enjoying it. Let me know where you are in your journey. Would love to interact with you that way. And then of course, LinkedIn, connect with me. Try and be direct in your DM because I get a lot of spam. So, hey, Ellis, I heard you on Monumental, you know, say something like that. So I know that you're actually human and you don't just want to sell me another loan product. But those would be two great ways, man.
I love it. Guys, take Ellis up on that. He's putting out massive value. And guys, with that, if you enjoyed today's episode, share it on social media. Let us know you're listening. Tag us on LinkedIn or Instagram, both Ellis and myself. And please do not forget to leave a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening today. And guys, with that, have a monumental day.